welcome to another edition of Dr. Drew's Two Cents. I'm Drew Stacogra.
As always, my co-host,
Chris Crespo.
Hey, how's it going? Check 1, 2. All right.
It's a good thing we did these audio checks before we started recording.
I don't know. Is someone messing with the board, man? I don't know what's going on, dude. It should all be fine.
How's it going, Chris?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
It's another month. You're spending another...
It's an autumnal month.
Half hour to an hour listening to the bullshit that goes on in my head.
Time for Dr. Drew's bullshit.
Maybe that's what we should talk about. We should talk about bullshit. Maybe we shouldn't talk about anything. We should just talk.
Just talk. A lot of people do that.
That's lame.
A lot of people just talk.
I want there to be some sort of...
A hook.
Not necessarily a hook, but a theme, perhaps. The conversation.
Topic of conversation.
Exactly.
Yes. Something you can hang your hat on.
If you want to.
Metaphorically speaking.
What if I don't have a hat?
That's why it's a metaphor.
Even so, what if I don't have a hat to
hang? You mean that's to the point where you're not even aware of the concept of hats and the need to ever hang them?
Correct.
Well, then that's a poor choice of words on my part. And also... I have a whole world to show you. A whole world of fashion, buddy.
So this month, we're going to be talking about technology.
All right. Hey, technology's
because,
cool.
Because, I mean, it is the year 2014. It's the future.
Wait, what was it?
I said it's the year 2014.
Seriously?
It's the future.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid thinking...
Where have I been?
Thinking 2014. When do I get my hoverboard, Chris? When do I get it?
2015.
Next year? Next year I get my hoverboard?
We get hoverboards and we get those auto-inflating drying
jackets. Oh, the drying jackets.
The sleeves that adjust themselves to your length. And you get the shoes with the Velcro that do themselves, right?
Yeah.
And flying cars is implemented by then. The whole flying car system with flying highways.
We got to get on that quick. We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, seriously, where are they waiting for it? I mean, it's right around the corner. Don't these guys know?
Seriously, I mean, there's a timeline that has been set.
2015 snuck right up on them. Like, 8 Jaws movies need to come out.
Oh. No more Jaws movies, please.
Okay.
We don't need any more.
Okay.
So, yeah. Fair technology. Enough. It's the future. Crazy things are happening. You know, science is out there.
Science!
And it's doing stuff. People
she blinded me with science?
People are using their brains to figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy things are happening, Chris.
Well, when people do use their brains, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
No, it's nuts.
It'd just be nice if people use them more. Use those brains!
I mean, people have them.
People have them. Doesn't mean they use them.
No. Well, I mean, some people get, you know, caught up in just the daily trappings of life and use their brain to deal with that as opposed to, you know, contemplating the greater things, trying to solve intricate problems.
Well, those are the... Okay, yeah, I mean, screw people's little lives. It's about the big problems. I'm a macros issues kind of guy. Macros issues?
Yeah. So lots of religion, politics, that kind of stuff?
Religion, politics. What else can we talk about at the table? Abortion, things like that. The big things.
The big things.
Life versus death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eternal oblivion.
I don't want to hear about your parking tickets.
Screw parking tickets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't pay parking tickets. Do you pay parking tickets?
I don't get them, so
ooh,
no.
There we go. By default, the answer is no. So, technology. It's crazy stuff.
Stop. Have a time.
And,
let's do things like that.
More often than not, I don't know how these people do it, but, science fiction writers tend to have, like, an eye into the future of what's going to happen. You know, they see a possible future where things exist.
They speculate.
And more often than not, it happens, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is that in part because, like, some of these people invent these things, like, they read these books about this
and
is
they want
the
these things to happen?
You know, it's like people now,
perhaps.
I'm sure someone's trying to work on a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Because they saw it in Back
well,
to the Future.
Well, they have worked on a hoverboard. A hoverboard exists.
Well, not a real one.
Yeah, a real one.
No, that was fake.
No, but the problem is it works.
Whatever you saw
it's
was
just,
fake.
No, it's just it deals with magnets, so magnets have to be everywhere for it to work
properly. Oh, the hoverboard, like, yeah.
And the power supply, it only goes so far because the power supply is so huge.
That's not a hoverboard. That's not my Mattel brand Barbie-styled hoverboard where I can take that thing almost anywhere except over water unless I have power. In which case, I got little jets on the back. But then I can tow people like the lone bike rider in a group of skateboarders.
Oh, I was that lone bike rider.
What?
That shit. That's some bullshit right there. I'll tell you what. Being that lone bike rider.
If you had more towing. If you had more technology at your fingertips at that time.
So over here, I've got a list of
science fictions.
Well, it says prediction or influence. A history of books that forecast the future.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
And it starts off, you know, at the, well, at least at the very beginning. I think it runs through, like, the late 90s, so it's not absolutely complete. But it gives you a good picture of how it all works.
Okay.
So, well, we're going to start off.
1735.
The book Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He predicted that Mars had two moons. Back in 1735, before anybody had even seen Mars, or the fact that it maybe had a moon or anything.
He just called it two moons.
He called it two moons. And in 1877, Mars' two moons were discovered. So, props to John Swift in Gulliver's Travels. Motherfucker knew what was going on.
Should have named one of the moons Swift, like named it after him or something. Yeah, maybe they named one John, the other Swift.
Maybe they did.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Who knows the names of Mars' moons? If you know the names of Mars' moons, tweet Drewster at antihero419, and he'll congratulate you.
Congratulations.
That'll be your prize.
In 1865, in the book From the Earth to the Moon by Jules Verne.
Flat out science fiction there. Not even.
Yeah.
Like, here we go.
He had a prediction that lunar modules would be launched from Florida and would return in splashdown capsules. And also talked about solar sails, you know, capturing the, what is it? It's the sun's, like, what is it, radiation or something?
The UV radiation?
Yeah.
The ultraviolet?
To make things go.
To make him go.
And that was back in 1865.
I wonder why Florida. Why did he pick
it? It wasn't until 1969 that Florida was first used on the Apollo 11 mission as a launch site.
And that had to do because they already had Houston.
Yeah.
And Cape Canaveral was like the right.
It was the right spot.
It was the same latitude or whatever. Yeah, it was all about, like, just geographical.
Weather patterns, geographical, it's nice and flat, you know, sometimes during certain times, weather permitting.
Yeah, there's not a there wasn't a mountain in their way.
No. And then in 2010, the first successfully used solar sails, the Icarus, used.
Took that long.
145 years later.
Yeah, that's crazy. What took that so long? Crazy.
Things in space are crazy, man.
That must have been someone, like, reading the book. Like, oh, shit, he mentioned these things we never got around to.
In 1870, Jules Verne in the book 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
This guy again.
He was talking about, you know, Captain Nemo and his electronic submarine.
Yeah, true.
From 1870. Yeah. And it wasn't until 1960, a whole 90 years later, that it finally happened.
The Unterseeboots. Germans figured that one out. Yeah, Jules Verne. U-boats.
Jules Verne was one up on those fuckers.
Well, those are the first ones that worked. Didn't they have some?
Well, they had some in the.
They tried some.
America tried one in the Civil War.
Yeah, and it totally failed. Like, everyone
did. I mean, it worked. Well, it worked.
Wasn't the one where, like, everyone had to get on bikes on the inside
exactly.
They put in the water and then they had a giant torpedo
attached to it, and they went in and they hit the boat and they did their job, but unfortunately they died in the process.
Yeah. I would still call that a success. No, a failure. I mean,
yes.
The Germans are the ones I got. But Jules Verne, again, that motherfucker.
Hey, he's a very prolific science fiction writer, and a lot of the things that he summarized would happen eventually did.
I guess if you write enough stuff,
something's
going to hit.
Mm-hmm. In 1888, in the book Looking Backwards by Edward Bellamy, apparently he talked about some sort of credit card being used, an electronic plastic card being used for credit systems. And 62 years later, 1950, credit cards were invented.
There you go.
Also, in 1889,
1889.
Jules Verne again.
This guy.
And in his book, in the year 2889.
Yes.
He alluded to skywriting, you know, airplanes with the smoke, writing messages in the sky.
Yeah, sure.
And video chatting, but he called it a phonotelephote.
Telephoto.
Yeah.
Phonograph.
But a photographic telephoto.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
And then, you know, 26 years later, in one of the San Francisco air shows, somebody started doing, you know, some skywriting.
For real skywriting.
Crazy planes. But it wasn't until 75 years later, in 1964, that AT&T debuted the picture phone at the 1964 World's Fair.
In 64,
they had the prototype technology.
Interesting. They were working on it since then. And now, you got FaceTime. Which people still don't really use.
There's all sorts of...
Oh, Skype and all sorts
Snapchat
of face-to-face.
And Facebook and all that shit.
That's crazy.
It's all just... I mean, there's so many photo and video sharing.
Someone had to come up with that. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that thing in 64 helped influence in 2001. Arthur C. Clarke wrote that.
We'll get to that.
Oh, there's some song called Arthur C. Clarke in there? Okay, I'll just wait.
Because we're only in the year 1899, Chris.
God damn!
So, in 1899, H.G. Wells wrote a book called When the Sleeper Wakes.
Hugwells.
Talking about automatic motion sensing doors. And 68 years later... the automatic sensing door was invented.
There you go. We all take it for granted.
Things we take for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, for most of the listeners, people don't even realize that there was a time before these things.
When you had to open the door yourself.
Before there... Oh,
what
man.
A pain in the ass that
I remember
was.
Those days. I remember the first time I saw an automatic door. It kind of freaked me the fuck out.
Oh, really? You remember the first time you saw it? Really?
No, I was a little kid. It was at the grocery store.
No, I don't remember.
They weren't always there.
I don't remember it. That transition. I do not remember the transition.
I do.
Crazy.
Yeah. In 1903, once again, Hugwells.
Hugwells.
There was a book called The Land Ironclads.
Okay.
And he was just talking about tanks.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, in all reality, what's his face? Mr. Da Vinci, Leonardo himself, had an idea for wooden tanks way back in the day. He didn't have a proper power supply for it to get it moving.
Yeah, was he going to do put a horse in the middle of that thing?
Exactly. Well, he had guys moving, I think, wheels and levers and shit.
Of course.
Manpower.
Of course.
In 1910, Edwin Balmer and William MacHogg wrote a book, The Achievements of Luther Trant, where apparently they alluded to lie detector tests.
No, oh, all right.
And then 14 years later, in 1924, they existed.
There you go. In 24 they existed, and now 90 years later, not admissible as evidence. Still not good enough.
Nope.
Can't use it, but people still break it out. Polygraph that motherfucker. Isn't that just
polygraphs don't mean anything.
It's all just like heart rate and
heart rate
how people
and emotional
react.
Responses to
emotional,
questions.
Emotional response.
Yeah. So if you have, you know, if you have control of your emotions and you can do that whole thing and, you know, not get freaked out.
Like Steven Seagal on The Glimmer Man.
Exactly. Then you can pass any polygraph you want.
There you go.
1914, Hugo Gernsback wrote a book, Ralph 124C 41+. this is getting weird. But he surmised about radar and solar energy. And then in 1935, radar was invented. In 1978, first solar power calculators came out.
Okay. The calculator, yeah, that would be
the
first.
That was
first.
The first time.
There's solar power panels on every single calculator now just because it's like, it's now a permanent feature of the calculator.
It's a solar panel.
A solar panel.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
It is. And now people have those things on their houses trying to get off the grid and whatnot.
Trying to.
You know, Florida made it illegal to not be connected to the grid.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that very recently. Yeah, it's from the power company lobbyists and shit. Yeah, it sucks.
It's ridiculous. You mean I can't produce my own power? I'm not allowed? It's illegal to produce my own power?
You have to buy it. You have to buy it from a utility that can charge you whatever they want because they're the only game in town. Somehow it doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't. In 1914, H.G. Wells...
Hugwells.
In the book The World Set Free, talks about atomic bombs. 31 years later, Einstein cracked the code.
Ooh.
Kaboom!
That was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was.
Game changer, that one.
In 1923, H.G. Wells again, in a book, Men Like Gods, he thought up voicemail. And 57 years later, it was popularized.
Hmm. Just leaving someone a voice message of your own voice.
He had to
think of that and describe it for people. People are like, whoa, that's crazy.
Exactly.
And now we're like, we got a voicemail on our phone and we just delete it without listening to it.
I do it all the time.
I don't want to talk to this person.
Mostly because it gets transcribed to me as a text message so that I may read it.
Oh, I haven't signed up for that option.
No, my phone.
I tried it once.
My phone automatically does it for some reason.
I tried it and it came back with a bunch of gobbledygook.
It only works like half the time.
Yeah, see, that's not. I'm not looking for half the time.
1924, J.B.S. Haldane wrote a book, Daedalus, or Science and the Future.
Ooh.
Where he talked about in vitro fertilization.
Hey-o.
53 years now later, in 1977, boom!
Babies having babies.
Babies having babies in tubes.
I like it.
Yeah, petri dishes and whatnot. Yeah. Test tube babies.
Yeah, we need more test tube babies.
Yeah. 1932, Aldous Huxley wrote a very famous book, Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
One of my absolute favorites.
Good book.
And he talked about mood-enhancing drugs and genetic engineering.
Yep.
Mood-enhancing drugs came out 18 years later when antidepressants were first popularized in 1950. And in 1972 was the first DNA manipulation. And now, good Lord, genetic engineering.
Yeah, it's now we're built growing... ears on the back of mice.
Ears in the back of mice. Not just that. Fucking. There's a. Due to genetic engineering, I got a list of 21 science fiction. Tangent. 21 science fictions that became science facts in 2013.
Science factions.
Some of them.
Oh, in 2013.
Yeah, last year. Oh, wow. Some of them talk about genetic engineering, like glow in the dark ice cream, which is made from luminescent protein found in jellyfish.
Ooh.
So your ice cream can glow in the dark.
I don't know if I want that.
Also available, genetically modified glow-in-the-dark sheep.
Now we're just... So that's it. Is your whole list just 21 different things that science now makes glow-in-the-dark and we can also eat?
No.
Okay. Because that's two things.
But
so far, you got two things that are going to make my poo glow-in-the-dark.
Well, no. To help differentiate naturally born sheep from their clone counterparts, researchers in Uruguay added the jellyfish protein to genetically modified sheep. Under UV lights, they are easily distinguishable in a crowd.
Oh.
Because they glow.
Okay.
Because they are part...
Because they're fake.
Jellyfish.
They're jellyfish sheep. Yeah, they are now, right? Technically part jellyfish. See, I don't know about that.
Do you want to be a part jellyfish, Chris?
Huh?
Do you want to be a part jellyfish?
Do I want to be part jellyfish?
Well, you see, glow in the dark.
I don't want to glow in the dark.
Well, I mean, but what if you want to be bright white when black lights hit you at the rave club?
I don't want to be bright white when I'm at
but
the rave club.
But you could be.
But I don't want to be, though. I don't want to be.
All right, back to science facts for fictions. In 1948, George Orwell wrote a book called 1984.
1948 or 1984.
Big Brother is watching.
Let's see where he got that.
And 65 years later, in 2013, the NSA domestic spying scandal broke.
Oh, yeah.
And we found out Big Brother was, in fact, watching.
Big Brother's watching, and they're trading our nudes back and forth and having a laugh at our expense.
They are.
So think about that next time. You send me nudes.
Every text picture is apparently... stored somewhere by the NSA, and apparently there's people who have nothing better to do than to cycle through them all and find the very attractive ones of both men and ladies and keep them for themselves.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that job. The job where you just sift through people's phone photos for the NSA. I'm going to apply for that job. Do that right now.
Dude, look what I found.
Yeah.
In 1948, Ray Bradbury wrote a book, Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
Nothing big, just little in-ear headphones. 51 years later, the Apple earbuds were released.
There you go.
And you could have headphones, you know, like we're wearing right now.
Right
currently.
Now, just like we're using.
Technology.
Bradbury. He also came up with giant robo-dogs that would hunt you down and eat you. So fortunately, that has not come to pass just yet.
Ooh, we're working on that, though.
Just yet.
Just yet. I mean, there are, you know, I mean, in today's day and age, we have, you know, drones.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the U.S. Army uses what looks like a horse without a head to lug around stuff right now.
So we're getting there.
We're on our way. There are robots that can
we're on our way. The giant robot dogs tracking us down in the streets.
Yes.
Very scary.
Sweet.
Very scary.
When do you think that's going to happen, Chris?
at our current rate, 2026.
All right. 2026.
By 2026, we'll be all giant locked robot. In our houses, afeared of the government because they'll have
giant robot dogs.
Giant robot dogs and things like that.
But what
like
if
that.
We build our own giant robot dogs?
Then they'll do battle outside, and then we have better hope our robot dog wins, because if it doesn't, then they're coming inside, because that gives them probable cause, and then they're coming in through the roof
with their
drone commandos.
If they have giant robot dogs, you really think they're still worried about probable cause?
Well, that's what they're roaming around looking for. They're roaming around looking for that probable cause. It's just so they can kick down your door and throw a flashbang in your baby's crib and destroy its face and then get away with it. Because that's all we have.
In 1951, Arthur C. Clarke. 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Hey!
So what were you saying about him?
I was saying that, he came up with the story with Stanley Kubrick, and then he wrote the book while Kubrick did the movie. You were talking about in 64, they debuted AT&T debuted their first video conferencing.
Yeah.
They used... video conferencing in that movie. One character pretty early on, he communicates with his daughter from a moon base. From a space station. And it's all video chatting. And what else did they use? They used video chatting, and they used commercial space flight to the moon.
Yeah.
That's something that's just happening now.
Yeah.
Just getting underway. That's all I can think of off the top of my head that might be applicable to this situation, except for maybe AI. Artificial intelligence.
Yeah. That stuff. Oh, man. Yeah. AI. That's some scary stuff.
That's just getting to now where...
Bunch of little Johnny Depps everywhere.
The deeps. The jeeps. Yeah. That's what I can think of for 2001 Space.
And also communication satellites. They came out 14 years later.
Oh, that's interesting. At that point, there were satellites.
Yeah, but not for communication.
But not for communications. They just put two and two together. That makes sense.
Yep.
That's just them being observant and smart and looking at what's... That's what a lot of these guys are doing.
Yeah.
Some of them. The guys are like writing about iPads in the 1800s. You know, they're pulling shit out of their ass. But stuff like that, you know, it's like, there's
well, no, a lot of them,
an element of just observing the world and
because a lot of stuff
speculating.
Is, you know, only like 14, 10, 10 years later, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Like the next one. Like Arthur C. Clarke also wrote a book, The City and the Stars, where he was talking about immersive virtual reality video games. And in 1966, the first visual flight simulator was invented.
That counts as that.
Yeah, that was only 10 years later.
Very interesting. In Rendezvous with Rama, he wrote about an alien spaceship that propelled itself forward without expelling any energy, like against the Newton's laws of physics. I don't think we're there yet.
No, I don't think we've broken Newton's laws yet.
But
I mean, not saying that we can't.
Not saying we can't. Laws are made to be broken.
Just saying, not quite yet.
Just not there.
Robert Heinlein wrote a book, Stranger in a Strange Land, where he talked about waterbeds. Lame.
That's funny, though.
1970. Yeah.
That's funny. Someone had to write about waterbeds for the first time.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then in the 70s, there was a boom.
In 1962, Arthur C. Clarke wrote a book, A Fall of Moon Dust, where he talks about space tourism.
Oh, okay.
And in 2001, I guess the first tourist went into space. His name was Dennis Tito.
I thought it was Lance Bass, no? Dennis Tito?
No, that was later. I'm talking about the first guy. I mean, yes, Lance Bass went to space. Yeah. But
you wanted to, right?
Yeah. He went with the Russians, correct? I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Russians. Yeah.
1969, John Bruner wrote a book, Stand on Zanzibar. Where he talked about on-demand TV.
Oh, okay.
Which we have right now.
Pretty sweet.
That
guy I was thinking.
Also satellite TV, but that only came out 3 years later in 72. Right. Laser printers, but that came out 7 years later in 76. The proliferation of electronic cars. And that still hasn't really happened yet.
Yeah, but
you
can see it, though. Now electric cars aren't, like, a shock.
Totally crazy.
Now there's a Chevy Volt.
Yeah, and the Tesla.
Yeah, yeah, so we get it.
Who just put all their technology public. Awesome.
Yeah, so we should build our own...
Build our own Tesla.
Yeah.
Talked about...
Open source.
He also talked about the eventuality of a European Union.
EU,
which came about later. Decriminalization of marijuana.
Oh, that's just hopeful thing.
Vilification of the tobacco industry, which happened in 84. And he also predicted that Detroit would fall into poverty. And that happened in 2012.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff there. That's kind of Nostradamus-y.
Yeah, it was. In 1972, Martin Kaden wrote a book called Cyborg, where he talked about bionic limbs. And the first bionic leg implant was just done last year. Where, you know, it's controlled by the mind. It, you can, you know, the person can
bionic,
sit there.
Bionic, fully bionic.
Yeah, the person can sit there and, like, bend their knee and make it do whatever they want, just like it's an actual leg.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
We're getting closer to that $1 million man, Chris.
$6 million.
It's more of a $6 billion
at this
man,
point, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Inflation, you know, labor costs, unions.
In 1980, Douglas Adams wrote a book.
That guy.
Tiny little book. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
42.
Where they talked about real-time automatic audio translation.
Real-time. Oh, Google Translate?
Yep.
Google Translate?
2014.
There you go. Very nice. That's it.
I just want the little fish.
All the crazy inventive stuff in that book, that's the only thing that...
Apparently.
I guess everything else is a little too crazy for us.
I mean, this is just stuff that has actually become.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean,
things that have come to pass.
Yes.
There's
a whole lot of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. There's a bunch of other stuff there that it's still too far ahead of us.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Okay. 1984, William Gibson wrote a book, Neuromancer, where he talked about cyberspace and computer hackers. It happened 7 years later. And then in 1990... Raymond Kurzweil.
Kurzweil
wrote a book, The Age of Intelligent Machines.
He's all about that transcendence.
Yep. Where computer beating best human chess player by the year 2000. And it actually happened 3 years before then in 1997.
Yep.
When Deep Blue whooped some ass.
That guy. I think you watched that documentary with me. The Transcendent Man.
Yeah.
The dude with the glasses. Mm-hmm. And he had his own regimen of like 50 supplements a day. And he expected to live an additional 50 years so he could get some nanobot immortality.
Uh-huh.
He's a little insane.
Yes, he is.
But I think you need that, though.
Well, I mean, if you're going technology, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to get to...
That's why the Japanese are so far ahead of us, because they're that much more insane than we are.
That must be it. I mean, he's been ahead of the curve on so many things.
Yeah.
It makes it kind of scary then that, you know, what he says is coming next. Like, now you seem to have gone.
Coming next, Chris. Last year, Motorola filed a patent for smartphone tattoos.
Oh, yeah, they get it right under your skin, huh?
Yep. So it could be there, a little voice box. All you gotta do is touch the side of your neck, and you are talking to somebody.
No, boy.
That's a little creepy.
That is creepy.
Last year, also. There's a program out there where you can remotely move objects with your hands. So basically, the way I see it being showed to me, it's called a remote collaboration, and basically you have to be at this setup, and you move your hands around, and on the screen you can see the ball moving with your hands. Underneath that, it looks like a bunch of squares.
Okay.
But they raise and lower depending on whatever. And I guess when you move your hands, that corresponds to the raising and lowering of the pegs. So it looks like, you know, your hands when they go in the, like that needle thing.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, but you can control it remotely. So you can actually move the ball with your hands.
Interesting.
From however far away.
Interesting. How's that technology going to be applied in the future?
I don't know. Guess what else happened last year?
That's technology, right? Video games?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Guess what else happened last year, Chris? This is
a
creepy fucking picture. The
Cardinals won the World Series.
So remember The Matrix? You know those...
The Matrix? The matrices?
Those artificial wombs that the people were in, you know, where
they plugged them in like batteries?
Yeah. Hey, guess what, Chris?
What? What's that? Ooh.
They're doing it with sheep right now.
Scientists create Matrix... esque artificial wound. Thanks to scientists in Japan, we are one step closer to being batteries for our robot overlords. The hope of the team is to one day be able to perform life-saving fetal procedures without risk to the mother. That's creepy. It's an embryonic sac that'll keep something alive in.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Where you can grow babies or keep things alive in there forever.
That's the Matrix.
That's some creepy
I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, and I hope they choose me to be part of their elite management staff, thereby avoiding said sackage. And then in the future when they say, you've been sacked, oh, that's going to mean something different.
Oh, that's going to mean something totally different.
That one's for our UK listeners.
Yeah, it is. They have microchip cameras, Chris.
Tiny microchip cameras.
They exist. They are about the size of a pill, and they can see inside of your body.
Oh, I've heard about swallowing pill-sized cameras. Yeah. For like the deepest colonoscopy you've ever had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can do it if you want to. In the year 2014.
Oh, you mean like right now?
It's
possible. I thought you meant like you had some here.
No.
That'd be some crazy YouTube footage you put up there.
This is the inside of my body.
Check out the GoPro through my colon. GoPro.
I mean,
go GoPro.
The year 2014, Chris, it's so crazy. Fucking 3D printing. What can't you do with 3D printing these days?
You can't print metal guns.
You can print plastic ones.
But you can print plastic ones. I can get through metal detectors.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's great. Good job, inventors. Now we're getting to a spot where we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yep.
Because what else can we do with those things? Oh, you know what you can do? You know what you can do now that I'm sure they're using laser printers for?
What was that?
There's an app where you take a picture of a key.
Uh-huh.
And then you send it off use the app to send it off to whoever the picture, and they will mail you a copy of that key that they laser print. They'll laser print you a copy of the key.
Of any key.
Any key. Just take a picture of it, and boom, you got it. They'll send it to you.
I want...
You go to the Play Store or whatever and search for the key, 3D key maker app or whatever. It's out there.
I want one.
And then make sure no one's taking pictures of your keys.
Chris, in the year 2014... Did you know that in Hamburg, Germany, there's an entire apartment complex where it is completely powered by...
feces!
Incorrect. 129 algae tanks.
Algae tanks?
Algae.
Okay. The whole building.
Whole building's powered by algae.
Interesting.
Photosynthesis.
Do they have brownouts?
Maybe.
That joke would work better if it was powered by feces.
Oh, yes it would. And to wrap things up here, Chris. Talking about... crazy future technology.
Crazy future tech.
I've got
Richard Sukaiburn.
I've got a list of 10 things that might creep you out about the future.
Yes, here we go.
So there's a company called Holosonics out there.
Number ten.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Okay. They've developed a technology called the Audio Spotlight System. What do you think it does?
Audio Spotlight System. What's the name of the company?
Holosonics.
Holosonics. They deal with audio spotlight company. Spotlighting with light. It focuses on something. It's a way to pull out a sound from a specific area. They're going to be able to use drones to listen to your conversation.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
It uses tiny speakers to focus sound to a very narrow beam. So imagine this, Chris. This is what the advertising industry has in store for you.
Uh-oh.
You're walking through your neighborhood store.
I know where this is going.
Right.
I've seen Minority Report.
So you're thinking about, you know, you got your list, you know what you're going to buy. But as you're walking through, you hear this little voice whispering, prompting you to buy things. You spin around to see if there's somebody behind you, but there's nobody there.
Yeah.
You're thinking to yourself, am I going crazy? No, it's Holosonics. They've got these tiny little speakers in the store. And when you get to the right certain spot, you get to hear the message.
Oh, that's horrible. That's so bad.
How creepy would that be? You're just going to the store, and all of a sudden you hear somebody whisper,
what? No, I don't want Doritos. Who said that? Yeah, it creeps me out. I don't like that.
Exactly. Oh, man.
This is next?
Yeah.
Number nine.
This is Sparta!
Genetic hacking. Chris, it exists. It is happening. As we speak right now.
Uh-oh.
The human genome was fully mapped in 2003.
Yes.
You know that.
Big deal.
And they, you know, they did that because they want to find the root causes of diseases like Alzheimer's.
They did that because they wanted to create an affront to God and to blaspheme nature.
Yes, but the real dream of biotech is not only to understand how our DNA expresses itself, but also to write new DNA so it can heal diseases, repair bodies from the inside out, you know, live forever, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. In the happy scenario, you know, in the future, hopefully somebody will figure out how to program viruses and bacteria to deliver custom-made cures and shrink cancerous tumors to reverse the tide of dementia. On the other side, bioterrorists engineer deadly superbugs that target us at a genetic level.
No, that's not good.
So instead of, you know, it's like, so what are we going to do? Oh, I'm going to make a virus that makes your skin fall off in 2 hours after getting it. Boom. No. And then it happens.
Ew, that's not good.
Why? Because it's genetically engineered and modified
to do exactly that
to humans.
Yeah, that's bad.
Or maybe not even just to humans, maybe to you specifically.
No.
Maybe only Chris Crespo's skin falls off. Everybody else is fine.
That's bad. I don't like that. That's... No.
Gotta watch out if the president gets a cold. He might be dead.
Oh, I mean like Kim Jong-il or Un?
Or anybody.
Apparently he got the gout like a month ago and no one's seen him since.
Ooh.
And the government came out and was like, the president's very ill. So that means he's been dead for weeks.
Yeah, pretty much. So number eight.
Number
Chris.
Eight! Number eight.
I mean, this is something that, you know, people have figured out is going to happen eventually. This, that, the other. We take precautions against it. But cyber warfare, Chris.
Oh yeah.
It is a real threat, especially in this day and age, where we're all connected by the internet.
It's coming more and more.
And
of
things
a
are
practical
all,
threat.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, back in the day, you'd think, oh, you know, a couple email bombs, maybe some viruses. But in the year 2014, the way everything's going, I mean, it could be crazy, man.
It'd be crippling. It could cripple economies and infrastructures and. Personally, he could wipe you out.
Yeah.
Stroke of a keystroke. Keystrokes.
I mean, on the other hand, though, it could be all Fight Club style. And just clearing the slate clean. Wiping everybody back to square one.
Actually, I'd be fine with that. Personally, yeah.
That's the other side of that coin. Yeah. You can do a lot of harm, but
I should join the terrorists. I should join the space monkeys, is what you're saying.
I don't know about that.
Like the first monkey shot in the outer space. Sticking feathers over your butt. Let's not make you a chicken.
I guess coming in at number seven.
Number seven! Right?
Sega!
See, that's technology.
I mean, we were talking about this before. Advanced artificial intelligences.
Oh, yeah.
That'll
doom us for sure.
As, you know, we keep going down this path of building smarter computers and things of that nature. Blah, 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 blah. This whole... You know, Matrix and 2001 Space Odyssey.
Terminator
and all of these crazy ideas that back in the day people were just like, oh, that'll never happen. There's no way.
That's
like it's
science
fiction. It could be science fact very quick. I mean, we already have drones. What happens if the drones become self-aware?
Oh, no, that's not good. They'll come right after us because drones hate us because we're their overlords. Oh, damn it, we're screwed. We're killing ourselves.
Coming in at number six.
Number six! Never gonna give you up, never
gonna let you down. We've got Google Glass.
Yeah, Google Glass, huh?
I mean...
What, Google Glass is good? You know what I just saw? Because they just had some crazy Japanese electronic show.
Yeah.
Toshiba Glass.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it has some good thoughts. You know, you're wearing your glasses, you know, you're doing some shopping, you maybe see a special, and a little thing pops up. Oh, 10% off this.
Or you're driving, and your directions are popping up right there in front of you, and you can see as you go. It's just turn
exactly.
Right here.
Or, you know, you're on your way to the subway, and all of a sudden, oh, the L train's behind. You get a little notification on your glasses. Boom. Hey, you might want to chill for 15 minutes before you go down in that stinky wet hole.
And then finally, you get into that train, and then you're sitting across from this really hot chick, and her legs are parted just right, and you just go, Google Glass, take a picture.
Zoom in.
And then Google Glass is like, did not compute. And then you're a little louder. Google Glass, zoom in, take picture, and then they
you
get,
see,
then they
that,
get found out. And then you
that is one of the scary prospects.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially even with... So to take this one step further, combine Google Glass with social media and a little bit of facial recognition technology, Chris.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
All of a sudden, let's say we don't know each other, and I'm wearing my Google Glasses. My Google Glasses will recognize your face and pull up all the information it can find on you on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram.
Twitter, yeah.
I can find out everything about you without you even knowing who I am.
And I'm just sitting there.
Yep, and all of a sudden, Chris Crespo.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm wearing my Google Glass, and then I look over at you, and it's like, boop, and it pops up your shit. Boop, 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 boop. I go, that's that guy.
Yeah, all right. Exactly.
And now we're casing each other. See, I don't like that.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Number five. Something we already talked about. Drones.
D-Rons.
Drones, period. I mean, the fact that we have...
Yeah, they're just... Yeah, no, they're gonna...
Unmanned...
The AI is gonna use the drones.
Like I said, unmanned, artificially intelligence, possibly controlled drones out there doing whoever's bidding.
Ugh. Whoever's behind the... The little joystick.
Or whatever is behind the little joystick. Who's to say it's even a person?
Not.
It could be a computer just being like, you know what? Go do this shit.
Back to number six, AI.
Yeah.
AI using Google Glass to identify us as targets and then drones striking us from above.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Coming in at number four.
Number four!
Once again, the 3D printer.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
The things that you could do.
That is bad news.
Man. I mean,
yeah, you could do a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could build, you know, they're building, you know, artificial skulls for people. Somebody had their jaw replaced completely with a 3D printed jaw.
Crazy.
That was, it's completely formed to how theirs was.
Crazy.
You know, there's all sorts of great things that 3D printing can do. But, you know, you could also... build guns and bombs and other weapons, and all you gotta do is download a file and press a button and boom. Hey, I need a plastic AK-47. Hang on, let me find that and print, and in however many hours I have a fully functioning assault rifle.
Shooting bullets and everything.
Yeah.
Ugh, scary.
Apparently in 2013, a University of Texas law student, his name's Cody Wilson, he announced the creation of the Liberator. It's a fully functional 380 caliber handgun made entirely on a 3D printer.
Damn it. Damn it, dude. Why?
It's completely plastic and it's pretty much untraceable if it's unloaded.
Yeah. There you go. Hopefully some plastic guns will blow up in some people's hands if they try to use them in robberies and shit.
I guess it all depends on what you're using on your 3D printer.
That's right.
Coming at number three.
Number three.
Chumba, Wumba, gobbledygook.
Drivable cars.
Oh, yeah.
Self-driving cars.
Yep.
I mean, it's awesome. It sounds like the greatest thing ever. You know, I go out and I get trashed and I say, car, go home.
That car, take me home.
Or, you know, if I'm on a long car ride, it's going to be like 4 hours. I say, car, go do this. And I can chill and watch TV, take a nap, bang my girlfriend,
I
whatever.
I do all these things instead of having to actually drive.
Exactly.
Driving.
And it sounds really convenient and really cool. But what happens if there's like a software glitch? Or what happens if my car gets hacked or I lose internet connection? Or
that's what insurance is for.
You know, all of these things. What happens when all these things happen? And
you survive the crash and you file an insurance claim.
It's just scary that I don't have control of it, Chris. When I'm driving a car, I like, you know,
I think
like
it's scary
control.
When you do have control of it. Drew, I've seen you drive.
Hey, I'm not that awful.
No, you're not. But you know what I'm saying.
I do. I'm just saying, I'm not sure.
I know people don't want to give up control of their cars. I get that, though.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to let a computer take over.
I'm ready to let them take over. They take over everything else. They can take over this. At least chauffeur me around, Terminator, before you blow my brains apart with your plastic gun that he drone struck me from above because some AI told you to. All these things connect.
Coming at number two.
Number two.
Something that I've never heard of, but apparently scientists are working on it. Geoengineering.
Geoengineering? Like the Earth? The Earths?
Okay. So, the most important engineering innovations of the industrial age: motorized vehicles, electricity generation, and industrial manufacturing, right?
Okay.
Also, all the greatest sources of CO2 emissions.
Okay.
So, some people are proposing a risky solution called geoengineering.
Ooh, risky business.
All right. So, geoengineering is basically using science and technology to hack the planet. So, you know, we know of some ways that the planet naturally gets rid of CO2 and all these other things and blah, 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 blah. So, some ideas for specifically getting rid of all the excess CO2 in the air.
Uh-huh.
Spraying chemical aerosols like sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere to bounce a fraction of sunlight back into space. You know, like the, what was that movie? Snowpiercer?
Yes.
It worked too well.
Yeah, it worked too well. Those guys need to see Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Plunge us into a nuclear winter.
Some scientists say we should pour iron into the ocean to spur algae blooms that consume CO2.
Okay.
But what happens if the algae blooms get out of control?
Yeah, then we have too much algae.
Well, no, exactly. And then massive dead zones in the ocean where nothing lives because it's nothing but algae.
Man, all the screwing with the ocean, that's what runs the world.
Spraying a mist of seawater into low-lying clouds to make them brighter, reflecting more sunlight. I don't know about brighter clouds. That sounds like it might burn my eyes.
Brighter clouds? That sounds like the tamest of all their responses so far.
And then, probably one that actually sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, yeah.
Planting forests of artificial trees that use chemical reactions to absorb and store CO2.
There you go.
Or maybe we just plant real trees.
That's what I was thinking.
That absorb and then turn CO2 into oxygen.
How about this? Stop cutting down the damn Amazon.
But dude, why? We can still
need that CO2.
We can still cut down the Amazon. All we have to do is pour a bunch of iron into the ocean and spray chemical aerosols into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you see, that sounds bad. That does not sound like respecting Mother Earth. Attack this bitch.
Well, no, we're hacking the bitch. And number one. Scary technology. Internet surveillance.
Net surveillance.
The whole, like, someone can hack your phone and stare at you all day while you're messing with your phone.
Camera right
and
here.
Take pictures or do it on there. Yeah. Do it on your Xbox 360 with the camera.
Yeah, sure.
Or the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah. I've seen yada, yada.
I've seen Lucy.
Big Brother is watching, man. It is freaking crazy.
It's
and
scary.
Especially in this day and age, you really have to watch what you do in front of cameras.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you should also assume that cameras are everywhere.
And you should assume that somebody's watching.
So, stop acting like yourself at all times.
I don't know about that.
Well, you have to. There's cameras everywhere. Unless you go into the bathroom. Even then, what if I take my phone into my bathroom? I'm bringing the camera in there with me.
Please don't bring it into the bathroom.
Oh, my camera?
Yeah.
That's where I shoot all my porn.
I don't ever want to see that. Talking about scary technology.
Scary tech.
Hello, it's me.
So, yeah. Woohoo! Technology, it's crazy. It's out there. I mean, hell, the Japanese have, live crab vending machines.
Nah, that's just smart.
Is it?
Yes. People are coming home from work. They're tired. Don't want to have to go away to the store and get live crab. I'll stop at McDonald's. Oh, wait, no live crab machine! Just put in a couple yen and the claw comes down and it's like a claw game, except you're guaranteed to win. Get a crab. Another crab is stuck to it. 2-for-1. We're eating like kings tonight.
Unless the whole thing's rotten.
On radioactive rotten crabs.
Mm.
Those are pulled from those Fukushima waters.
Oh, yeah. So, that concludes Dr. Drew's 2 cents this month.
All right.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. Maybe. A little bit.
Technology. Talking about, I learned some stuff.
It was something.
We learned things. We learned cool things.
It was something. I really wasn't all that inspired. Not gonna lie.
Well, good thing you
kind of half-assed this one.
Good thing you saved that part for the very end.
I apologize to everyone who's listening to this very end part. At the subpar performance. Maybe next month I'll have something better. Probably not. And on that note,
challenge accepted.
We are out.
Fatality.